Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Ascension of the Lord, 2017.
Just before he ascends to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples to stay in Jerusalem, to wait and to pray for the promise of the Father. And he describes what will happen, that gift that is to come, when he says, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's how the Lord describes the event of Pentecost. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And baptism, obviously, that we know what that means. It means to be immersed in something, to be submerged in, to be plunged into. We're used to thinking of it in terms of baptism with water, and the fuller sign of that, of being plunged under, completely submerged in it and come out. But Jesus says, you will be baptized, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the love of God. The Holy Spirit is that complete, total love shared between Father and Son, that's given and received in such a perfect and complete way that love is a divine person. They don't just love one another, Father and Son, but their love is alive, and it is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says to them today, in a few days, you will be plunged into, immersed into, the very heart of God's love. That's what Pentecost is. Now, that's also exactly what your confirmation was. Every single one of you that has received the sacrament of confirmation, what the Lord did at Pentecost is opened up and takes place in the sacrament of confirmation. And what we're talking about for us is the same as it was for them, to be completely immersed in the love of God. And this is such an important and life-changing thing for the apostles that Jesus says, don't go anywhere, don't even begin to go out or try to do anything in my name until you've received this gift. Now, this is an amazing thing in and of itself, that having been with him for 3 years, day and night, you know, you can almost imagine saying, Lord, what do we not have yet? Or how have we not yet been fully immersed in your love? I mean, like, we've been with you for 3 years. You've been teaching us every day for 3 years straight. What do we not have? We need to pay attention that even though they have lots of knowledge of what Jesus has taught them, something has not yet happened in them down at this level, at the core of their being. And so he tells them, you're not ready yet. There's something that you do not yet have. But in a few days, you will have it. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that happened to you at confirmation. So if I were to ask you, show me evidence, give me proof that you have shared in that same gift. If I asked you to provide some sort of evidence that you who have been confirmed have received that gift of that baptism in the Holy Spirit, what would be your proof? What would be the evidence that you would show to demonstrate, yes, I received that, I shared in that? I think for a lot of people, the evidence would be something like this, where you'd say, well, you want proof? Here you go, baby. Look at this. Me and the bishop. This isn't really me, by the way. But here's proof that what Jesus promised, here's proof that I share in that. Here's me with the bishop on the day of my confirmation. I bet a lot of us would respond in that way. Here is the evidence I received that same outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But the photo is not what God has in mind. When he looks at you and he wants to see evidence, outward sign that you in fact have shared in this, there are three things that he wants to see in your life. There are three from Scripture, three primary proofs that in fact what Jesus describes here has been welcomed into your life. Now, why is this so important? Because if you don't see these three things, what it means for each of us is, Lord, we need you to stir this gift up. We need you to give us a renewed outpouring of this gift. Because if we don't see the evidence that Scripture tells us that we should see, then we are pretty much in the same place the apostles were. You can have had 12 or 16 or 20 years of Catholic education, and yet you can be missing the spiritual boat. The apostles had all kinds of knowledge, and yet until they were immersed at the level of their heart in the very love of God, they were not there. So three things that the Lord wants to see in each of our lives, that Scripture says, here's the evidence and the proof that in fact we have welcomed in as full of a way as possible the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we've been immersed in the love of God. The first one is this. St. Paul tells us that when we let the Holy Spirit fill us, he comes into us, and the love of God the Father adopts us as his children, so that you and I, St. Paul says, we then cry out, Abba, Father. So just look at your daily living, your daily prayer. Do we live as sons and daughters of God in this sense that we rely on his fatherly care? We cry out to him as a child. We enjoy the freedom and the joy that a child who is absolutely certain that his parents are there providing for his needs. Does that look like your daily life? When you pray, how often do you let the Holy Spirit stir up in you that cry that St. Paul says is evidence of the Spirit within you? Abba, Father. I mean, really, just literally, when you pray, how often is your prayer directed specifically to the Father because you've experienced that love that has declared you in truth and fact to be his adopted son? Or do you go through life worried, anxious, burdened, fending for yourselves, making a go of it on your own, thinking that it all relies on you? If someone looks at your life, what do they see more of? The second proof, Scripture says, and St. Paul tells us, is that when we allow the Holy Spirit to come into us, the love of God the Son comes in such a way that we are set free from sin by his mercy, and that work of his mercy is so great that we willingly submit our life to him and we cry out to him, Jesus, you are my Lord. And so St. Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that's that second proof. So basically, who's the boss in your life? Is there sign in your life of the lordship of Jesus over you? Like when it comes to making decisions, like we've got a lot of people graduating right now. Mount DeSales has had their graduation, St. Joe, we've got our high schools all graduating. When it came time to making a decision for college, or those of you that are graduated from college and moving on, how much did you let the Lord Jesus be in the midst of those decisions? What do I do next? What am I going on to? Who's the Lord of your life? Who's the boss? when you hit a decision point in life to go left or right, how often is it just up to you? The third proof, again, drawing from St. Paul, is St. Paul says, we are so weak, and yet, beautifully, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid in our weakness. And so even when we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit, He wants to pray and intercede on our behalf. And so St. Paul says the Spirit comes to our aid, and so the prayer back is, come, Holy Spirit. How often is that the prayer of our heart? How often do we allow the weaknesses and the struggles of our life to lead us to a place where we cry out, come, Holy Spirit, come with your power. Do for me what I can't do on my own. These three things, these three prayers, are the proof that you and I have fully welcomed in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing is that on the front end of it all, this is God's gift to us. He wants to pour out on us a love that adopts us as His own, a love that lets us live life under the lordship, the watchful care and power of Christ Himself. And it's a love that wants to come to our aid in our weakness. The Lord wants to give us those gifts. And so, rather than just saying, well, here's my confirmation photo or here's my confirmation certificate that's proof of this, forget that. That really doesn't even matter. But I think the Lord is inviting us to look at our daily life and ask, are those three things there? Are they present there? He wants it for you. Now, for all of you to have been confirmed, and you're saying, you know what, Father, what you just described, that does not describe my life. I'm anxious. I live as though I don't have a Father watching over me. I carry anxiety every day. My stomach is being chewed up because of nervousness over finances or this or that. I don't look like I'm living with a Father's care. And when it comes to decisions, I make them all my own. Like, stop and pray and ask Jesus? No, I don't ever do that. And in my weaknesses, I give up. I don't cry out to the Holy Spirit. The good news is that if you would be among those many, I think, who would say, that does not describe me, the beautiful thing is you have not missed the boat. The window is not closed on this gift. There are all kinds of reasons why when we were confirmed, our life did not begin to look like what I just described to you. What Scripture says are the marks, the proof of one who's been baptized with the Holy Spirit. It could be that when you were confirmed, you were in a big, fat state of sin in your life. Like, you went through it, but there was something really big and sinful in your life, and it was a boulder that kept the Lord from getting in. But maybe now you have since brought that to the Lord. You've confessed it, and you're more open. Maybe at the time, you just didn't even trust the Lord. Like, you went through everything you needed to do to get confirmed, but you weren't ready to trust Him. Or maybe when you were taught, you just weren't even taught to expect this stuff. And I think that's a big part of it. Very often, our young people, we tell them, well, when you're confirmed, don't expect too much to happen. Because, like, we're afraid of getting their hopes up. So don't expect much. Just believe the Holy Spirit's going to come, but don't expect to see it in any real way. It's probably the worst thing we could say to somebody. Because what you're doing there is you're telling them, I give you permission to not have faith. I give you permission to not expect anything of the Lord. So let's just clear that out. New teaching for you. And this flows out of what we talked about last week. If we don't know what to expect with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be on the lookout for it. We're not going to be ready to cooperate. So I'm telling you today that we should expect this outpouring of the love of God in such a way that we are baptized in that love, in the Holy Spirit, so that our very life from the core changes, and we cry out, Abba, Father, and we cry out, Jesus is Lord of my life, and we cry out, come, Holy Spirit. And the beautiful news in all of this is that it's not too late. Every year in these days between Ascension and Pentecost, the church says, let's pray again for it. So whatever may have been the block or the sticking point before or whatever, we give that to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want this. I want to know you as my Father. I want to know the lordship of Christ, your Son, over my life. I want to know the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live apart from this power of your love. And so in a very simple way, I want to tell you, be praying for this gift. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in this way. Join us for the novena that we have going on every night from 8 to 9 p.m. in these days that lead up to Pentecost. In your prayer at night, before you go to bed or when you get up in the morning, pray and simply ask, Lord Jesus, you promised that you would baptize us in the Holy Spirit in your love. Come and give me that gift that from my heart, filled with your very love, I might cry out, Abba, Father, Jesus, Lord, come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.